trying to get our two boys ready to carry them to the golf tournament before practice, right? 12 cats live across the road. Our door's open. Screen's broke. We need to get a new screen door, but the screen's broke. So you can come in through the screen, but you can't get back out of it. I turn and look. There's a little kitty cat in our kitchen. So I said, what are you doing in here, little kitty cat? By that time, the cat turns, tries to get back out. That screen won't go that way. Cat starts going, meow, all crazy. And I told our players, we need more dogs. Bo's barking in the back. I have to go shut Bo up. Mel's like, what's going on? I said, there's a cat in the house. Cat in the house? I said, yeah, there's a cat in the house. So I told our players, I tried to let it out the front door. Meow, meow. The cat's still going crazy in there. And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Meow, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
We be the infamous, you heard of us. Official
review.
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 The official.
Review.
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 The official.
Review.
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 What's up, what's up, what's up, gang? It's the Upon Official Review Podcast, back in action, doing our thing. It is, once again, your boy Magnum and your boy Murdoch in the house.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in. Yes, we've got a good show for you guys this week.
Absolutely.
We're talking some Eagles football, some Phillies baseball. It's a beautiful time of year, September.
Yes, it is.
Where all the worlds collide when you know, your baseball team's headed towards October, and you've got the self-titled dream team in action.
By Vince Young, yes.
It's a good time to be a Philly sports fan, and let's be honest, we deserve it.
It's true.
We've sat through many, many, many horrible losing seasons of heartbreak, sorrow.
Most of the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, well, and the 2000s. I mean, let's not forget.
Yeah.
Really, just 2008. I mean, you know, is it what's really honestly what hurts worse when you go 3-13, or when you go 13-1, really? And lose 3 points in the Super Bowl. I mean, that's worse, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You kind of see the 3-13 coming by, like, you know, the second quarter of week one.
True.
When, you know, I mean, who was our starting quarterback that year? Doug Peterson, you know? Like, not like anyone thought we were going to be good.
Yeah, it's true.
So, yeah, I mean, it's been a rough, like, 30 years, really, like, since the early 80s for Philly. So it's about time that we were kind of on top of things a little bit.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice to be on top. I like this feeling.
A little bit. You know, Boston, you know, I mean, they unbelievably enough, their longest championship drought is, you know, 7 years, the Patriots. All three of the other teams have won since then. But, if we get a couple titles this year, you know, we can be right there. So
sounds good to me. Let's make it happen. Why not? Why not us?
Why not us, indeed?
But, yeah, man, let's talk this past week of NFL football, of course, most importantly. The birds went out and got it done.
Yeah, handled their business.
Scared us a little bit in the beginning.
Yes. And, you know, it's a dome, road game, in the dome, crowd noise with, what, how many rookies on the offensive line and players in positions they weren't used to.
Exactly, linebacker. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so that was to be expected, I thought.
Plus, I mean, for years, you know, to cut you off, but for years we've seen it. And it kind of – it's funny how, like, I guess it just is a pattern with defenses in general maybe. But they get out – they start the game when they're just over hype. And they
over
– exactly. And they overrun all the plays and
– Over-pursue.
Over-pursue, exactly, exactly. And they get scored on quick. And then they seem to settle down once they've – the nerves are all, like, you know, they're gone and they're
– Once they're just playing football.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. They're not –
Once they're just playing football, especially the first game of the year after the lockout, everybody was, too hyped up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, after the first play, Steven Jackson, 47-yard touchdown run, we gave up, what, 6 points? I mean
– Yep, exactly.
You know, that'll win you some ball games. You know, yeah, Steven Jackson only had one carry after that and was hurt, so that'll help. Well, we'll see, you know, next week, you know, Michael Turner in his house again and in the dome. It'll be loud. But I thought, I mean, we just looked better in the second quarter than in the first, better than the third quarter than the second, better than the fourth quarter. And, I mean, that to me was a beautiful sign.
It is. Sign of growth, absolutely.
And you know, to make mistakes and not play your best game and win by 18 on the road, I mean, well, shoot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Against a
yeah.
team that most people pick to win their division. Yeah, it's
exactly.
a terrible division. But
yeah.
that's great. I mean, you know, right now, I was afraid we'd lose the – you know, I didn't think we would lose the game, but I was afraid we'd lose the game going into it.
Right.
To me, the first couple of weeks while this team, so many new players – gels, any win we can get is gravy right now, because when we hit mid-season form, we're going to be, I think, really good.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Tough to beat. So
I agree.
If we can get pile some wins up early when we're not really gelling yeah. as a team, that's just huge, and that'll just help us in our quest to get to me, it's just so important in the NFL to get one of those top two seeds.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I mentioned that actually in our NFL preview, how when you have an offense that is still trying to gel, you know, meaning your offensive line isn't blocking as yep. well as they should, and
right.
people aren't running their routes as precise. When you have right. a quarterback like Michael Vick,
sort of still coming
yeah, exactly,
in.
Exactly. But you got a quarterback yep. like Michael Vick, he's going to extend so many plays, and he's going to make
right.
so many plays with his legs.
Right. Right.
You know, he makes up for that gap that your offense is having when
covers
they're just not
a multitude
precise.
Of sins, doesn't
absolutely.
He? I mean,
absolutely.
He really
I mean,
does.
We were, what, 8 for 11 on third down or something like that? We had
8 for 12.
Yeah,
eight
we had a
12.
Fantastic percentage on third down. And that's, you know,
yeah,
some of that was Vic just getting out of there.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
I mean, absolutely. And, yeah, he was awesome.
Extending drives, man, just kills
yeah,
defense.
Yeah, really.
Too.
I mean, second and 17, he had that scramble where he spun mm-hmm. out of a couple sacks and gets a first down. I mean, you know, nobody else can do that.
Exactly. Yep. Defense is on the field longer. They're tired. They're frustrated.
And they're demoralized. Exactly.
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 Like, man,
say,
we had
them
you know, on
do?
First and second
yeah.
down.
And it just, down. You know, shoulders slump a little bit. Here we go again. Nothing we can do. You know, and his stats were not, obviously, you know, if you look at his completion percentage,
yeah,
was
like
under
45%.
50%.
Yeah.
Yeah, about 47%, less than 200 yards. But you throw in 100 yards on the ground.
And two touchdowns.
A couple big plays, you
yeah.
know, no interceptions. He did what he needed to do to win by, you know, almost three touchdowns on the road.
Yeah.
So,
like you said, wait till Macklin comes back full strength, dude.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Week five, week six, we're going to be really good. Just the fact, week to week, I think we're going to get better. The fact that in game we got so much better
yeah.
really fills me with a lot of hope that we're going to continue to get better. Until we actually do hit our stride each week, so I really
like Macklin is Vic's probably favorite wideout.
Well, he's the most consistent,
yeah.
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be honest, Macklin enjoys the fact that Deshaun gets so much attention, and he should, and they
yeah.
exploit that. And
yep,
and you know, because he won't kill you on a 97-yard touchdown run necessarily,
I
but
like
he'll get you those first downs and 20-yard gains and stuff, and you know you need.
And he's got.
Need,
he's not got.
He's got speed. Let's
yeah,
not
exactly,
be.
Yeah,
let's not be honest. He can absolutely break a touchdown, but he doesn't. You know,
yak.
I mean, Jackson's just not. I mean, he's just otherworldly fast. So
yeah, exactly. He won't break a lot of tackles, but if you got him in the open field, he's gonna run past you.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely. And let's not forget, you know, Vic and Jackson almost hooked up on an 80-plus-yard score, which would have made
yeah.
Vic's numbers look a lot better.
That would have been, yeah, even more, yeah, you're right, impressive, you're right.
Then he would have had closer to 300 yards with a third touchdown. And,
that's right, that's right. That's
and
right.
that's the kind of stuff, like Reed said in his press conference after the game, we were just a hair off, you know, a couple times. And they were right. And, you know, the fact that we still put up 31, yeah, okay, 7 was by the defense, but 24 yeah. points on offense, that's a good – that's a good game. If you score 24
yeah.
points in every single game, you're going to go 11-5.
Exactly.
12-4 maybe. Even,
yeah, most
you know?
Likely. Mm-hmm.
So the fact that we were a little off, you know, on the road and still did well and left points out there, I mean, you know, it's going to be hard to stop us from scoring 30 points this year.
That's true.
In any game. It's really, you know, and I think I just think we can really, this could be a really good year. If we can get some wins early, kind of steal some wins before we gel, you know, next week's huge against Atlanta. If we can get that game started out 2-0 on the road, get 8 home games out of the last 14, some winnable home games coming up, you know, you could be staring at 7-1 first half or something like that, 6-0, 6-1.
Yeah, you could definitely see that.
It's a big game to win because it really sets us up to go on a nice little run here early.
Mm-hmm.
While we sort of get our sea legs under us, so
yeah, they and then the other thing that was you know obviously like you said, Steven Jackson came out, but the defense seemed to kind of figure out what they were doing as the game went on.
Steven
as well.
Jackson's looking good.
Exactly, Reggie Miller's looking good. For those of you guys that don't get that reference, just YouTube the words "boom goes the dynamite," and you can thank us for us later. Thank us for that pointer. It's fantastic. But yeah, the defense hard to gel. You know that you can clearly tell that they're going to get a lot of coverage sacks because the quarterback just drops back and nobody's open, and then
nobody's
the pocket collapses. Somebody's coming from the outside and just brings the quarterback down because he's got nowhere to go with the ball. And you know, and most quarterbacks in the league aren't as mobile as you know as Vic is.
None of them are. Yeah.
Exactly. So you know, we get spoiled because our quarterback can get out of that. Most quarterbacks can't. They see all that kind of pressure and they go down or they try to get out and throw it away. So,
absolutely.
I think that's really going to help. You know, Cullen Jenkins and Jason Babin looked good. You know,
our defensive line looked great. I mean, when's the last time we had 5 sacks from the front 4? Both the top 8 guys. I mean, they're rotating guys in and out, which means, you know, because Trent Cole's our only guy, and then he wears down by week 11, and then don't have him in the playoffs because we use him so much the first 10. It's like now, as long as they stick to this rotation, all our guys should be fresher than anybody else at the end because nobody's playing 8 defensive linemen like that.
Yeah.
And Babin, you know, if he's getting 2 sacks a game, and that's just huge because, you know, let's be honest, you know, he had one good year and didn't – who was the guy that 2 years ago left us and then went to Oakland and had a good year?
Oh, Chris Clements?
Yeah, and then he wasn't good last year, so you never know, you know? It's like, okay, well, we do have the he everyone said he did so well under the scheme of the defensive line coach for Tennessee who we signed.
Mm-hmm. Washburn.
Washburn, yeah. But, you know, so you felt good about it, but you still weren't sure. But, boy, you feel a lot better about signing him now that he put up 2 sacks in his first game. That's for sure. So, man, if we can get pressure, you know, for years and years, since the early 2000s, we only been able to get pressure really with Trent Cole occasionally or if we blitz. And
blitz,
if we blitz and they pick it up, it's just touchdown.
Yeah, you're in trouble.
And every time in the playoffs, our guy's running for his life all game while we can't get anybody to get in the backfield against their guy. If we can just play that game even in the playoffs, you know, I think we'll be fine and we'll win those games. You know, if we're getting just as much pressure as they're getting on us, or if neither one is getting pressure, just give me even. You know, if we can win that battle, then for sure we're going to win the game. But if we can play even, I still think we even win the game. So the fact that we were getting pressure from our front 4 is huge. And it's like now our quarterbacks are so good, we can almost blitz at any play we want. But our front 4 is so good now, we don't have to. So really what we can do is help the linebackers, which is our one weakness.
Yep.
To me, with extra bodies in the middle, should help against the run. So, I mean, really, and against maybe a tight end or something, you know, you don't necessarily have to rush more than 4. You don't have to single cover any wide receivers. So that leaves everybody else on the defense to kind of figure out the, you know, the running backs
exactly,
and the tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
To me, just sheer numbers, even if we don't have talent, we should be able to do it with just bodies.
Yeah, at that point. That's true. Yeah, because you got so many guys that have their assignments already set.
Yeah, because, again, you don't really have to blitz, but you don't have to double cover any wide receivers either.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
That really puts you in a really good spot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, you're right. There's a lot more room for error for the linebackers at that point.
Yeah, because the safeties, cause you can put 5 linebackers on the field almost. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You know, and the safeties can help them out a lot because, again, you know, you don't really need any who do you need to double cover? You got Asamoah.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you got, you know,
you got Samuel and Cromartie.
Guess what? Rogers Cromartie too. So, I mean, I think the defense is going to keep getting better and the linebackers will keep getting better. So I'm not worried about the linebackers actually because the front 4 and the secondary look so good right now. That's all we need.
Mm-hmm. So. We shall see. But yeah, the offensive line also started to look better just as the game went on. Early in the game, we were like, man, Vic is scrambling every time. Yep. And then as as game went on, we were like, look, a pocket. Like he's actually standing back there.
Yeah.
He's got time to find out who's open, which is so dangerous for the speed that our receivers have. You give, Vic 3 seconds back there, what cornerback is keeping up with them for 2-3 seconds? It's not going to happen.
Exactly. And again, once Macklin gets the full speed, so they cover Jackson, but then Macklin will kill him.
Yep.
Or, you know, Avant keeps getting better every year. Or Steve Smith is going to start to get better.
That's right. I forgot we got another weapon that we haven't even played.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he played a couple snaps, but, you know, halfway through the year, he'll be really good.
Yeah.
He may not be good now, but who cares?
Yeah.
You know, this is why if we can just steal some early wins, you know, that could help us in that race because the Packers are going to be good. Let's be honest. The Packers looked awesome.
It did look awesome. The Saints.
The Saints looked awesome too. And the Saints, you know, if they didn't get a turnover and if they had scored a little better in the red zone, they could have definitely won that game. But the Packers also, it's kind of the same thing. McCarthy, I don't really love him as a coach. I know he just won the Super Bowl, but he lets off the gas and lets team backs in it. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
They dominated us. And even though they dropped that pass at the end of the first half in that playoff game, we should not have had a chance to win with a last-second drive.
That's true.
But he went conservative, and playing not to lose, to me, is the worst way to do it. Yep. Have some guts. Go after it. Be a man. Go win the game.
Or play what's been working for you at the very least.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Exactly. You start going away with what's been working all day. Why would you do that?
Guts. Don't be scared. Mm-hmm. The coach is scared.
Yep.
And I just don't really respect that. You know, yep. Reed does not do that. You know, you know, when we played Patriots in 2007 in their undefeated season and we had Feely or whoever was the quarterback, you know, Reed was going for every fourth down. I mean, he understands, okay, I'm gonna be aggressive. I'm going for this certain times. You know what I mean? He's not going to, you know, in a game like that, let off the gas. You know, he's going to put his foot on your throat is what he's going to do. And I like that about Reed. You know, we criticize Reed when he does stupid things, and he deserves criticism. I'm not saying that. But let's also, hey, when we see somebody else who's actually won a Super Bowl and does some weird things, you know what? That's something Reed does well. So let's give him some credit, too. I mean, he's obviously not, like, a horrible coach. He's won a lot of games and mm-hmm. been around for a long time. So
we'll give him props on that. He still can't handle the clock at all.
No, he can't. But I'm just saying, I like that
he did it again on Sunday.
He doesn't play not to lose.
Yeah, we'll give him props for that. Absolutely.
And that is very frustrating. I'm glad he doesn't do that. Yep, so I will give him, you know, yeah, he can't manage the clock. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Time management, not good. But he's aggressive, and he doesn't play not to lose.
The gusto.
I like that. And, you know, let's not be honest. Some of that could have been McNabb also. You know, he would have taken the blame even if it was McNabb's fault. Now, obviously, some of it's him too. But, you know, some of that over the years could have been McNabb, and Reed just said, yeah, my bad, because he didn't want to hang his quarterback out to dry. Yep. Possibly. Mm-hmm. Not saying for sure, but McNabb has looked horrible since he left. Washington looked a lot better without him. McNabb threw for 37 yards.
37 or 39 yards of the whole day.
By offensive or by the head coach out there, Leslie Frazier.
Frazier, yeah.
Who just ran it to Peterson every time. You know, it's like, yeah, I understand Adrian Peterson is really good, but you can't only pass 15 times, not in this league.
Yeah.
Even if you have, you know, one of the top two, three backs. And obviously him and Chris Johnson are the two best running backs. But
yeah.
Still, you can't, you know, you're not going to score that many points that way. And they, scored 17? Okay. But, you know, even though Peterson had 100 yards, I mean, that's what you're going to get. You're going to get 17 points. But, if you only throw it 15 times, you're just not going to put up 30
it's
points.
It's not going to cut it. It's true. It's true.
So,
Stone Age. Anyway. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll do what's making Murdoch mad. We'll talk some Phillies. We'll come back, talk a little more football later, and do all of our other amazing segments. So you guys stick around. This is the Upon Official Review Podcast.
Last word in Philly sports.
That's us. You guys don't go nowheres.
Parking lot, yo, we drink crazy. With green vehicles, dubs on that candy grill. Them pockets green, too chubby like Andy Reid. Tell haters they can cry if they want. We wear pads and we bleed green like it's the time of the month. 700 level blood burst stress. That's a body bag found in the bird's nest.
And Reese, who let the birds out?
Mike Vick and Duffy is
the new birdhouse.
We celebrate before we get the win home. Like the Sean before he get the end zone. One team, one city, one dream.
Yeah.
The dream is to crown all these kings with rings. Number one man, second to none man. First city home of football's number one fan.
Go Philly, numero uno. Eagles be our number, Eagles be our number one. Go Philly, numero uno. Eagles be our number, Eagles be our number one. And we ride,
yeah we ride.
Eagles be our number.
Welcome back, gang. It's the Upon Official Review Podcast, and it is time to get into what may be the greatest segment
of all time.
It's true. I'm sure it's, you know, if you check the history books, There, you'll never find another segment. Maybe like
well, it's in the dictionary under the word awesome. It's this segment.
Absolutely. Awesome. Absolutely. So, like I was stating, it's time to get into it. Let's find out this week what's making Murdoch mad.
Who are you trying to get crazy with, S.A.? Don't you know I'm loco?
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
All right, Murdoch. The whole world is waiting with bated breath.
Bated breath.
Exactly.
Indeed.
That always sounds to me like I would picture somebody that just ate a whole bunch of fish. That smells like
oh man, I never thought about it that
Absolutely.
Way, but I bet you I will from now on.
Exactly. Tell him, Murdoch, what's making you mad this week, man?
This week, I am furious. I'm hopping mad. I just hopped. I am so mad
That's impressive.
That people continually say Tony Romo is an elite quarterback in the National Football League. I'm so tired of the Dallas Cowboys getting that respect. What did he do in his first trip to the playoffs? All he had to do was catch an extra point. Fumbles the snap, lose the game, cries on the field. You know,
I love that
just
picture.
Keep that in mind, okay? Yeah, he beats the Eagles, a highly flawed team with McNabb. Fine, they win one playoff game since 96. Boo-hoo, gets smoked in the next round. And then last year, everybody's picking them out of the NFC. They're all saying they're going to win the NFC East, possibly win the Super Bowl.
Home game, Super Bowl.
Dallas, yep. We heard it all, off season. And then promptly Romo starts out. I believe he was 1-6 before he got hurt. Dallas was 1-7. All close losses. The thing is, they actually, you know, as much as I hate the Cowboys, they do have talent. You know, they're only losing by 3 or 4, but they kept losing every game by 3 or 4 because they just found ways to lose at the end. So, fast forward to this season. Romo's back. He's healthy. Collarbone's healed. Playing a team that's been to back-to-back AFC title games, very good team, the Jets, and the Cowboys promptly dominate them on, just marching up and down the field against that defense. You know, Jets fans were definitely thinking, man, I wish we got Asamoah because, you can't throw on Revis. He's even better than Asamoah, but boy, they were throwing on Cromartie.
Yeah.
Like there was no tomorrow, and Dallas has two really good wide receivers right now in Miles Austin and Dez Bryant.
Yep.
And whoever was Cromartie was guarding, they were just targeting him every time, and they were marching it up and down the field. And then, okay, so Dallas up 7, you know, 5-6 minutes left, 3rd and goal from the 5. Romo's scrambling. When you need a field goal here to make sure you're up 2 scores. He dives from the 3-yard line with the ball unprotected with about 4 guys collapsing in on him and no chance to make the end zone. He had no chance. That dive, there was the best thing that could have happened was he got tackled at the 2. And the worst thing that could happen was they lost the football, which is what happened. There was no upside to that. He's just being stupid and won't give up a play. He acts like he's trying to throw a 200-yard touchdown on every single play. He has no football IQ to realize, hey, if we get a field goal here, our odds of winning are like probably going to be 99.9%, 10-point lead with only a few minutes left. But a 7-point lead is such a big difference. And the momentum switch of the turnover, so he gives the ball away. Sure enough, the Jets end up tying them, and then the Jets get the ball back with 2 minutes left, but don't do anything with it. Kick it away to Dallas. So Dallas has a chance to go down, kick a last-second field goal, and win the game. And Romo, what does he do? Throws a pick right to Darrell Revis. His wide receiver never had a chance. One of the worst passes I've ever seen deep in your own territory. Again, there was not much upside to that pass. He can't just throw it out of bounds. He's not smart enough. He has to try to get a home run every time. It's like a baseball player. You know who Tony Romo is?
Dan Uggla.
It could be game 7 of the World Series, bottom of the 9th, Dan Uggla at home, bases are man on third, 1 out. Okay? Sack fly wins the World Series, tie game. And yet he swings out of his shoes cuz he wants a home run. It's like, dude, A sack fly wins the World Series. Shorten your swing up and make some contact.
Exactly.
You don't need a home run. And that's Romo. Take the field goal. That wins you the game. You know what I mean? Like, yep. But no, he has to go for the touchdown. He has to go for the home run. Even though he's got no chance of the touchdown, he still can't slide. He has to dive with the ball held out away from his body. Terrible player. He chokes in the clutch time and time again. He's not smart at all. He's a dumb football player. He's got terrible football IQ. He's too cocky and arrogant. He has to be the superstar and make the big play and get on SportsCenter. That's all he cares about. He's selfish. He doesn't care about doing something smart, like just sliding, letting the team kick a field goal. No. He has to try to make the one in a million spectacular dive to get on SportsCenter his face. You know, he doesn't care. And that's why Dallas is never going to win. And you know what? Tony Romo, he's the same person as Jerry Jones, except a lot younger. And, you know, that kind of person, that's why Dallas stinks. Dallas, you know, they had a dynasty because of the Herschel Walker trade and Jimmy Johnson being a great coach. But once Jerry Jones decided he was bigger than the team, he ruined that dynasty. They got one more even with a bad coach just because they had such good players. But
yep, that's right. He couldn't coach at all.
This year was the first year he picked a lineman in the first round. Jerry Jones in like 20 years. He's too proud to fire himself as general manager, even though that would help the franchise. Dallas is a mess. They're not an elite team. Romo is an idiot and not an elite quarterback. He might have elite skills, and he might be, you know, top four if you want a guy for the first three quarters only.
Right.
You know, if you had a closer quarterback that you could bring in, Romo would be fine. But, you know, he doesn't have what it takes to get it done in the fourth quarter or in a big playoff game. He's only proven that. He's never been clutch, and I don't think he ever will be. So anyone that wants to talk about America's team and Tony Romo, screw you. I've had enough. He stinks. They stink enough. Enough with the damn Cowboys. They embarrass themselves. And I even said it as they're in the fourth quarter. You know, I put on Facebook, I said, you know, the Jets are trying their hardest to outsuck the Cowboys. There's only one problem. Nobody outsucks the Cowboys. Romo just said, oh, yeah? Watch this. And that was before he fumbled it or threw the interception. I knew it was coming. I totally called it.
Good call. You know what? I'll show you how to play terrible. This is how you do it.
I'll show you how to suck. You want to know how to suck? Watch this. That's exactly what I said.
Got nothing sure on enough, me, Jets.
He fumbles and intercepts it after I said that. You know, that's a true story. I called that before you did the turnovers.
That's fantastic.
I said, watch this. And sure enough.
That is a absolutely perfect call. It's true. It's true. And I'm done with anybody who thinks Tony Romo is great too. It's clearly he's
put it this way. I'm glad he's on the opposition. So
yeah.
If I'm happy that he's on the Cowboys, my least favorite team,
exactly,
then he's probably not that good.
Yeah. We're also happy because he has a name that's so easy to make fun of.
Yeah.
So easy to hate. So easy to hate. Thank you, Tony Romo. And thank you for being terrible.
God.
Absolutely. So let's turn the corner real quick. We'll come back to football, though. We'll talk a little bit of around the league later. But let's turn our attention to the Phils, who just clinched a playoff berth as of today.
Playoff clinched fighting Phils.
And in what, in 146 games, I want to say?
Yeah, I believe so.
Which is like a franchise record, I think.
Absolutely. Quickest to clinch a playoff berth. Franchise history. And of course, there's only been the wild card around for so long, so that makes
right.
it,
that makes it a little bit
easier. Yeah, 146 games. The magic number to clinch the division is only four. Atlanta can only end up with at best 98 wins, so four more wins, and they can't catch us once we win our 99th game. Even, you know, potentially tomorrow, Friday, we can clinch the division. If we win two tomorrow, win one on Friday, all they have to do, Atlanta, is lose either tomorrow or Friday. And if they lose both, we just need to win two of the next three. So you're looking at Friday or Saturday probably.
That's pretty awesome.
It's going to be, you know, they'll have clinched the East, and the number one seed will be not too far behind. We need 101 to guarantee ourselves that. So we have a magic number of six over Milwaukee and Arizona. They both have 62 losses. So
well, I for one am excited about the postseason, man. It's getting close. It's getting close. I'm thinking about.
I can't wait. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I just.
Yeah, me too. I can't wait either.
You know, the Eagles or the Phillies may slide a little bit here towards the end, playing bad teams. You know.
Yeah. Trying to rest some players now and again.
Rest some players, and let's be honest. Once they won six straight against Atlanta and Milwaukee, there was nothing left to prove.
Right.
At that point.
True.
You know, so we slip up a little bit against Houston, lose 2 out of 3. Although Doc. Though I didn't get to actually see the game out of doctor's appointment today. Had a complete game shutout, one on one, nothing.
First
game,
of the year.
Four pitches. Yeah, first shutout of the year. That's surprising.
It's weird.
When Victorino leadoff double, Polanco singles to get him in, four pitches into the game, and the game was effectively over at that point.
Yep.
Doc Holliday on the mound, give him a lead.
Yep. You know he smells blood, man. He's just like a shark, dude.
Absolutely. He's 18 and
clamps on.
5, I believe.
Right.
18-5 for the season. So he's going to have three more starts. If he wins two, he's, you know, very likely to get that Cy Young, I think, if he can get that 20th win. He might win it anyway. Lee still has a chance because he has four more starts. If he wins out, he could get to 20 also. So,
man,
it's going to come down to Halliday.
That's pretty awesome to have two pitchers that are.
Maybe Lincecum.
No, he's lost too many games, I think. Lincecum, hasn't he lost like 12 games?
But he has really good numbers, so he's losing a ton of 1-0.
Yeah, I guess that's probably true.
I'm just saying he's the dark horse. If he throws like four straight shutouts and the other guys slip up a hair, he's still got a shot. Dude, I don't believe that he will win. I'm just kind of naming probably top four. Yeah, he's 13-12, but Felix Hernandez last year won with like
that's right,
12
he did.
13 or 13 as well.
Yeah,
ERA's 2.59 Lincecum, so he's having a good year, no question about it.
Mm-hmm.
212 strikeouts. They just have a really bad offense, so.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
But it's going to be almost certainly Clayton Kershaw or Lee or Halliday.
I'm sure you figured this out already. If anyway, the season ended today, who would we play in the playoffs?
That is an interesting question because right now Milwaukee and Arizona both have an identical record. They're both 87-62.
Okay.
So now what happens when two teams are tied but both are already going to go to the playoffs? There's a tiebreaker. They will not play a one-game playoff to see who's the number two seed. So I guess it would be their head-to-head record. I'll look that up. But offhand, right now as it stands, 10:08 p.m., on Wednesday, September 14th, they're in a dead tie. So whoever ends up doing better, 2-2 in that series. Of course, they split their one four-game series. They must have played in the first half. Let me look. Whoever has a better record of those two tied, Arizona wins the season series by 4-3. So Arizona, if they stay tied, would be the 2 seed, which means we'd play Milwaukee.
Right
now, Arizona is the hotter team of the two.
Right, definitely.
And so I would say right now it looks like Milwaukee is going to be the opponent. And honestly, I think they got really hot and everyone started saying, oh, Milwaukee. And
I remember that.
Mark and Gallardo, maybe they'd be the best. They've beaten one team. They've only won a series against one team with a winning record since before Memorial Day.
Wow. That's way, even before the All-Star break. That's before Memorial Day.
Yeah. Yeah. Only St. Louis. They have not beaten one other team other than St. Louis with a winning record, not won one series against any teams with a winning record since before Memorial Day. They do not beat good teams. They do not win on the road. They are a mirage. They have their record against Pittsburgh, the Cubs, and Houston, three of the worst teams in baseball, is like 20-500, and they're like 4-500 against everybody else.
Everybody else, yep.
They just have a division that has three horrible teams. One below average team in Cincinnati and one good team in St. Louis. So it's the 6-team division and three terrible teams. That's why they have a good record. Put them in the East and put Atlanta in the Central. Atlanta would have close to as good a record as we have. And Milwaukee would be down around the Mets, you know, maybe 500, maybe a couple over.
Yep.
So I think either one of those teams, don't see how they can beat us. But Milwaukee's worse. They play in a terrible division. You know, Arizona plays in a terrible division, though, too. San Fran is bad. L.A.'s bad. Colorado's bad. San Diego's bad. They're all bad. Huh. So both of these teams. Atlanta's really – and Atlanta's got injuries to the starting rotation, and we can't play them in the first round.
Right.
But if their starting rotation gets healthy, Jurgens and Hanson, They definitely are the next most talented team. And, you know, they're doing it against us in our division. You know, put Milwaukee, Arizona, one of these teams in our division, you know, they would be much worse than Atlanta.
Right.
So I don't think it matters. Right now it's Milwaukee, but we would beat them. We proved that without Rollins, Utley, or Howard. I mean, come on.
Yeah,
they can't hit our – neither can Arizona, neither can Atlanta, neither can anyone from the American League. When we're on
– they're not in our league.
No, they're not. Nobody else is either. Bring anyone on in any round, the best of five, the best of seven, don't care. Don't care, don't care, don't care.
Very confident. I like it. I was real quick, if you had to face either the Red Sox or the Yankees, who do you least want to face of those two?
Who would I rather face?
Yeah, who would you rather face or who would you rather –
Because you think – because we have a better – like, can I say who I'd rather face just because I want them to play a series against them or
– either or, yeah. Give it – matchup.
Who do I think we have a better chance to beat? Right now, I guess Boston looks pretty bad right now.
Yeah, right now. They're in a –
they've been sliding. They have a better offense, but again, it's always pitching. Neither one has great pitching.
No, that's true. They don't.
Yankees right now look like they have better pitching. They certainly have better, you know, Mariano Rivera in the bullpen.
Right.
And Sabathia.
Blown several saves this year, though.
Yeah, but, you know, playoff Mariano Rivera. That's true. Is the most extreme pitcher ever.
Yeah.
0.8 ERA or whatever it is over, like, you know, a season's worth of games, a full season. I think the Yankees are better, so I guess Boston. But I want to play the Yankees because I want revenge for 09. And plus, beat the Yankees, you know? I want the best.
You want the best, huh?
I think the Tigers have a decent chance to win. They've won 12 straight right now. They're completely unconscious.
Wow.
Verlander is out of his mind. He's 23-5. He may win 25 games. He may win the MVP, and I think he should.
You think so? Wow. As a pitcher.
Absolutely, because they're like 5 games over 500 when anyone else pitches, and like 25 over when he pitches. You know, they're not even a playoff team without him. And I think so, because I that's just me. You know, if he wins 25 games, tough to not give it to him, I think. Right now, they, you know, just because of him, you know, if he wins you 2 games in a series, you know, you only need to win 2 of 5 other than that. And the rest of their pitchers, Doug Fister, they got from Seattle, was like 3-9, but had a good ERA and has pitched really well for them. Max Scherzer's been pitching well. Rick Porcello, young kid, they've really stepped up and played really well. Just, I mean, they have a 13.5 game lead all of a sudden, and not that long ago, like August 11th, they were up by a game and a half, and right now they have the biggest lead in baseball over second place in the division, bigger than the Phillies. We're only up 11. Of course, we have a great team in our division. They don't, but don't sleep on the Tigers. That's what I'm saying, or the Rangers. And if somehow the Rangers blow to the Angels, Weaver, Heron, and Irvin Santana, they have good starting.
That's true. That's true.
You know, it's not necessarily just going to be Boston and New York here. And let's be honest, Tampa Bay's got a chance too. So I want the Yankees, though. I want revenge.
Revenge.
I want the best. I want people to look back on this Phillies era and say they were one of the greatest, you know, National League teams of all time. And they beat the Yankees too. You know what I mean? And revenge. Bring them on. Let's get New York. Let's stick it to New York one more time.
Yep.
What do you say?
I agree. Although I would like to take Boston down too, just because Boston needs to be humbled. But yeah, that revenge factor would just be nice.
Yep. I mean, it might be a better if I was somebody from North Dakota and did not have a rooting interest, I'd probably be rooting for Phillies Red Sox because I would think that's going to be the best World Series.
Right.
But I want the Yankees. Either one would be awesome. To beat either Boston or New York would be
You're right,
fantastic.
It would. It really would be nice. That would make me feel the best. I wouldn't have that much, you know. Beating, yeah, exactly. I don't really care about beating
Rangers. I want a big series, big name teams. I want to win it.
Yep, I agree. That'll be nice. That'll be
everyone
a nice.
In the world I want watching. I want them to see the Phillies dominate.
I mean, it's kind of like, you know, you wanting your cake and eating it too, that kind of thing. I would love a championship over anybody, but it would be nice.
We have a better chance to beat Boston or New York. I mean, who do you think
matchup wise?
Yeah.
We probably actually have a better chance to beat New York.
I think so.
Because
of Boston's lineup, I guess.
Yeah. If Boston's lineup is hitting, they're not right now. But if they're hitting, man, that offense is just tough, man. Euclid and Ortiz. And Gonzalez and
I mean, if Boston's pitching gets healthy too, then I would say they're the tougher team to beat for sure.
Right.
But that's not why I'm picking the Yankees because I just want the Yankees for revenge. otherwise, I'd be thrilled to play the Red Sox. I definitely want if it's not the Yankees, I want the Red Sox. I don't want, you know, the Tigers or the Rangers or the Angels. I want the best. I want either the Yankees or Red Sox for sure. So I will be rooting for those two teams to get to the ALCS, just so we're assured of getting a great World Series if we make it that far.
Mm-hmm.
A marquee matchup.
Yeah, yeah. good choice of words. Yeah, I like that. I like that. All right, gang, let's come back. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk legal procedure, talk a little bit of just around the league in the NFL, you know, surprise game of the week, et cetera. Then I'll do my fantasy football pick and give you guys a tweet of the week. So everybody stick around. We still got a lot more show. The Upon Official Review Podcast.
The last word in Philly sports.
That is the truth.
When it's fourth down and the other team has to punt the run it back, D-Jack to sue the fans want. Come on.
Jackson! Jackson!
Turn it up, yeah.
Jackson!
Turn it up, yeah.
Jackson!
Turn it up, yeah.
Jackson!
Yo, big time players make big time plays. No pretend to Sean Jackson, that's a big time name. He's faster than the speed bullet, faster than the speed bullet, faster than the speed bullet. Let's move it on. Don't even try to blink because you might miss it. It's the greatest show in Philly and you ask what is it? But when the ball lands in the hands of a man, as fast as a man as the Sean Jackson, all the fans in the stand are like, damn. Did you see that? All I seen was the blur. It's like a jet passing by. Yeah, that's all that I heard. And then the crowd goes nuts now. The fireworks bust out. Oh yeah, the Sean Jackson with an 80-yard touchdown. The dude's too quick, man. You need to face it. Couldn't even slow him down if you put him in the matrix. When he picks his feet up, the speed up. Oh no, you can't see him. Oh, players, the fans, not even the
camera. Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for listening to our show. We hope you're enjoying as we talk football and baseball. It's that time of year again.
It's a great time of year for sports in general, but especially right now as Philadelphia fans.
Especially when the Phillies are the best team. The yep. Eagles are one of the best teams. But it's just – it's really fun. It's a great month. It's right up there, September and March, with March Madness and the start of the playoffs, basketball and hockey.
Yeah, and it's just –
and
it's
the start
nice.
Of baseball. It's yeah, just man. Beautiful. It's just those – they're 6 months apart, and they're both very similar to me. You got the baseball playoffs coming up. That's the March Madness. You
yep.
got the football
yep.
starting. That's the start of the baseball season, the start of the hockey and basketball playoffs.
Yep.
No doubt to me, March and September, you know, those
definitely.
Are two of the greatest sports months.
Yes, absolutely. Good call. Good call on that. October, it's just nice to have
October, but
optimism for the Phillies postseason and optimism for the Eagles season at the same
yep.
kind of level. You know what I mean?
Yep.
What if we both
yep.
thought – these teams can make a, you know, really, both these teams can make solid runs into the postseason and, you know, possibly raise a championship.
The Phillies would be a huge upset if any team beat them in either
yeah.
league. Maybe not
True.
Huge if the Yankees or Red Sox. It would be a sizable upset if
yeah.
anyone beat them. The Eagles are one of the top three teams right now, I'd
yeah,
say, as far
four.
As odds.
Yeah.
Top three or four. Green Bay, Patriots. Eagles. I mean, maybe
yeah.
the Saints.
Yeah,
I don't
Saints.
See that anyone else is up there. I think
Ravens,
those right
maybe?
Now. What?
Maybe Ravens. I mean,
I don't think they're on the same level.
Like,
certainly, as far as odds, like
yeah.
betting odds.
Yeah, betting odds. Yeah.
So, yeah, having two teams that are this favored right now, I don't know that. Not in my not as
yeah.
myself following sports.
Yeah. In my life,
2009, the Phillies really weren't that good. Lidge was terrible, and
mm-hmm.
They beat the National League. But the Dodgers were the best team in the National League that year.
Yep,
were favored, and the Yankees were clearly favored and should have been. 2008, we weren't certainly favored to win.
Yep,
last year we were, but the Eagles were not certainly thought
yeah.
of as a legit contender.
Yeah,
so
at the beginning of the season, at the you know maybe like the middle of the
right.
season.
Right, exactly.
Maybe.
Not while the Phillies were still going
yep.
on.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
Maybe just at the very tail end, we started seeing, wow, Vic, I don't remember when that game against Washington Redskins Monday night happened as far as when the Phillies season ended. Maybe for about a week we were feeling really good, but not you know, as soon as the Phillies lost, that was over. It wasn't very long. But this will at least have a solid month before the Phillies lose, you would think, worst case. So we'll have, you know, good optimistic. It's never been exactly like this where both teams were at the very top of their leagues.
Yeah.
So it's just fun. Anyway, yeah. Time for another one of our weekly segments, the always entertaining illegal procedure of the week.
Well, they called us for illegal procedure.
Illegal procedure can be broken down.
You've got to be kidding me. I can't believe what I just saw.
I've been so wrong.
All right, Ari, what you got for us?
All right, sir. This week, I stayed up for nights on end trying to think of what annoyed me more. There were lots of different illegal procedures performed in the sports world this week, and kind of some things that, you know, just came to mind with the start of football season. There's a lot of things that annoy me about, you know, the way football is broadcast in general. So I'm just going to throw a very wide net over the legal procedure this week. Legal procedure goes to the football broadcast for, one, that terrible dancing robot that Fox has. What is that?
Man, seriously.
How much you hate that thing?
It's like I tune it out at this point.
Yeah,
but I can't believe it. You know, I didn't even notice it last week because I'm just so used to just not paying attention. But wow, they still have that?
That thing is still
Everyone
there.
I thought it was terrible 10, 12, 15 years ago, whenever they first debuted it. And somehow I thought, unbelievable.
Let's keep bringing this back. Sir. People love this. The other thing is Frank Caliendo on Fox. He's brutal. I mean, he was funny when he first came out doing his little Madden thing and da-da-da-da.
Yeah, but...
just George Bush,
too
I guess.
Too much exposure.
Yeah, enough already. Kill Frank Caliendo with the pregame. Enough
just
already.
Just a little small doses.
Exactly. Very small doses. Exactly. And then lastly, sideline reporters during football add absolutely no benefit.
If they're hot.
If they're attractive, I guess. But like maybe it's also time, too, because we have like Twitter and the internet now. That we're usually on the computer. So we know everything that the sideline reporter is going to say.
That's true.
Before they say anything. They had nothing. Or they could just, you know, put a little scrolling thing underneath the bottom of the screen. Steven Jackson has hurt his hair braid.
If it's something that nobody's found out yet, put him on real quick to say, yes, Steven Jackson's out for the season or something.
Yeah.
Something big that people, you know, would affect and news. But don't just put him on there just to put him on there.
Yeah, it's
that's when I have an issue with it.
It's such a waste of time, and I hate when I talk to coaches and players.
Big injury that people are wondering about, they'll put them on anyway.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. You know what one of the worst things is to me is every time they interview a coach, like while they're jogging back to the locker room at halftime, they always give the stupidest questions and the worst answers. You never get anything that's noteworthy during that halftime.
Exactly.
Run to the sideline.
So,
coach, what did you do in the first half?
End of the first
we got to play better. There's some things we got to do a little bit better. You know, we got to execute.
We don't want to give up four touchdown passes in the second half. We're going to try to start with that. You know, it's the same as the basketball coach interviews the end of the first and third quarter. Like if they get Phil Jackson and he's just, you know, he has to do it because that's his job, but he hates it, and he'll just put real sarcastic answers out there that mean absolutely nothing. That's bad.
It's brutal.
You know, especially a guy like Andy Reid who's kind of rumbling and hobbling.
Waddling,
yes, that's what the word I was looking for.
There it is.
Out of breath. You know, he just goes, cheesesteak. I need a cheesesteak.
I was just trying to get back and get a milkshake.
Yeah, dude. Like, really what I'd like to see Andy Reid say is, the only thing on my, you know, coach, what do you have to do differently in the second half? The only thing on my mind right now is how soon I can get a cheesesteak injected straight into my bloodstream. Give me energy for the second half. This is brutal.
Well, what we got to do better is pack more snacks.
How long it's been since I injected cheesesteak into my bloodstream? 10 minutes.
What do you got to do in the second half? Well, we got to make sure we bring more snacks because I ran out of snacks in my pockets in the first half. We're going to need to restock.
Eating the challenge flag.
Exactly. Oh, man, how great would that be if they just cut to the sideline and he's chewing
just munching away.
Looks like Coach Reid is eating a piece of bacon. No, that's the challenge flag. At least I'll keep him from throwing it when he didn't need to. That's funny.
The challenge bacon for Andy Reid.
Challenge bacon. You never throw that. He would never throw that.
That's what he wants. the challenge bacon. You have three challenge bacons. You can eat them or throw them.
You forfeit your challenge bacon if you get
he'd be out of challenges by 32 seconds into the game.
I guess they review that. I hope they review that one well, because I have no more challenge bacon left. That's tremendous.
This is my best idea of my entire life.
It really is. It really is. I really wish somebody would make a song or a skit about challenge bacon now. That's amazing. That is fantastic.
Yes. You give me props, because that was genius.
That was genius. Oh, man. So let's bring it.
Procedure.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Yep. That was good. It needed to be said. Needed to be said.
Needed to be said.
So let's bring it back and talk some more football around the league.
Yes.
What are your observations? Things that stood out? Good, bad, ugly? What'd you think?
Well, dude, it's just great that the football is back. Because it is, like, the season's so short, you get to see so much action and drama going on week by week, and, you know, it's never as much fun to watch your team play, obviously, but it is great to just watch any game that's on. I watch it.
You know, I mean, when it's, like, Cleveland against Seattle.
Yeah. In the beginning of the season, though, you watch anybody.
Yeah, the beginning of the season, yes, but about 7 weeks in, you just start kind of tuning it out.
Yeah, you're like, okay, these teams are really
bad. You're searching
on
the computer more than anything else, doing something else.
Okay.
But right now, yeah, you watch anything.
Yeah, once their seasons are, like, you know, they're open 0-8, you know,
right.
1-7, then you know, okay, these teams are insignificant. But
right.
You know, in the beginning, everybody's a factor. You want to see who's going to be good. So the surprises of the first week, you got to say one is the Bills just had an offensive explosion. I can't remember them scoring 41 points except for like when you know, Bruce Smith and Jim Kelly.
Kelly
and,
yeah,
exactly.
Thurman Thomas.
Boston and Tom. Yeah,
Rizin.
Reed. Yep.
No, Rizin was on Atlanta. Did the Rizin end up in Buffalo?
I feel like he might have played for Buffalo. No.
He was in Atlanta.
Yeah, he was definitely in Atlanta.
He was in Atlanta. I think he went.
He might have played with Indianapolis, I think, at some point.
Maybe. Anyway, but I don't think they have either. That's definitely a shocker. I mean, Kansas City has one of the best
home
field advantages out there. Seattle and Kansas City, everybody says, are like the two best.
Yeah.
Bill Simmons, I give him credit for this. He says, you know, the new stadiums are all kind of the same. They kind of cut the home field advantage. Nobody has that big of a home field advantage anymore because they cut out the you know, poor fans who get really drunk and act completely ridiculous. Not that only poor people would do that, but, you know, there's a more white class, white collar, high class clientele there. It's not going to be quite as many drunk
those
morons.
Corporate sponsors and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. So you're with your, you know, you're a bunch of people from your work or your, your clients. You're not going to be making an idiot of yourself. He says, you know, most of these new cookie-cutter stadiums, there's not that big of a home field advantage anymore. You know, but the Chiefs have a huge home field advantage, and they were good last year.
They were.
You know, they won that division, and Buffalo has been horrible for years.
They've been so bad.
41-7. I mean, who saw that coming? Nobody saw
that.
Chris Berman, because he always picks Buffalo, but, you know, even he didn't really think.
Well, he's drunk every Sunday anyway.
Yeah, exactly. He didn't think they were winning by 34.
Things are terrible.
Fitzpatrick. What's the guy's name? The
quarterback
the
is Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Fitzpatrick. Okay, I wasn't sure if it was Fitzgerald or Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
His mom didn't think they were putting up 40. That was a shock.
I put my baby down for 21 points today. He gonna overachieve.
I mean, seriously. You know, that was a big shock. Also, you have to say, I don't know that anybody saw the Ravens beating the Steelers by 28, 35-7. I mean, they haven't beat Ben Roethlisberger when he started.
Ever.
Ever? Or at least since, 5-6 years.
Yeah,
so.
It's been quite a while.
Yeah. So that was well done by the Ravens. I know you and I were both very happy to see that.
Yep.
Not huge Pittsburgh fans. You know, the Jets did a great job of letting the Cowboys choke worse than they did. So, got to tip your hat there.
The Redskins, man.
Redskins beat the Giants by two touchdowns on the road. That was a really good win for them. New York looked bad. That looks good for us because that means we got two bad teams and Tony Romo. Again, you know, Dallas obviously has talent, but they're just going to choke. So tough to see anyone really being that much of a threat, especially if we can win next week.
Yeah, I agree. Let's hope it stays that way.
Another couple of games of note is the Colts looked horrible without Manning, lost 24-7 to Houston.
Yeah, he's like
he's the most valuable player ever.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Right.
We were saying that last week, but is that not proof?
Yeah.
That whole
yeah.
team is so bad without him, and
they're just lost. You can kind of figure that.
No, take him away from them. It's worse than taking anyone else away from anyone else ever. Yeah. I believe. And you know what? I was touting them up last couple months. I got to give props to my sleeper team, the Lions. They made a couple big mistakes in Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay won 10 games last year. Still won.
Still won, yep.
By 7, and it really wasn't even that close.
Nope.
Two big plays for touchdowns. Otherwise, they would have won by 2-3 touchdowns easy.
Yep.
You know, and they never won road games. I mean, they've lost 20-something straight road games at one point. To play sloppy on the road and still win easily, I mean, that's what a good team does. That's kind of what the Eagles did. The Lions are a good team, and they still don't even have Fairley playing. Put Fairley in that.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. He's not even back yet.
Stafford looked really good. The Lions are absolutely going to be a very good team, and they're going to play a good game next week against the Packers. You wait and see.
We'll see. We will see. Wait. The Lions have the
Are they playing? Who are they playing?
The Packers are playing the Panthers this week because they got Cam Newton.
Okay, they're playing the Chiefs. They're at home. They're going to win that game.
Yeah.
But whenever the Lions do play the Packers, you know, that's a game.
Yeah, I'll be interested to watch it. Yeah, I'll be absolutely interested to watch it.
I hope it's on TV. So.
Yeah. Let's hope. Yeah. Let's hope.
Any other thoughts from you, sir, on week one?
I'm just more of the same, man. I'm just happy football's back.
It's a beautiful thing.
It really is.
You know, I just Sundays, 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock, 4 o'clock to 7:30,
yep.
8 o'clock to 12:30, 12 o'clock, then 2 hours of SportsCenter.
That's
just the most beautiful day ever.
Yep. Yep. Oh man, I tell you what, I tweeted about this.
Football.
How there's no better way to start Monday than when the Eagles win. The Cowboys and the Giants lose. It's like the trifecta. Yeah.
Then you get to read about it all in
the paper. Exactly. Monday is so much happier, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not really the Eagles win is the number one thing, but when the Cowboys lose too and then the Giants lose, you're like,
When they lose like that to the Cowboys, so you give it away by Romo sucking.
Yep.
That's just beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Let's get to the tweet of the week.
Let's do it.
Yeah, man. We got a lot of different contenders this week, so let's give a shout out there. La, 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 la. Don't wait till I get my Twitter right. La, 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 la. Then you can't tweet me nothing right. Excuse me. Did you tweet something? You can't tweet me nothing. All right, guys. This week for the tweet of the week, a very worthy winner. Goes by the handle of Bruce_Arthur, spelled like it sounds. And he said, regarding Peyton Manning's surgery, if you guys know that Peyton Manning had to get a second surgery on, what was on his neck or his shoulder? On his neck, right?
Neck, yep.
Yeah. He says, he tweets, I just hope before he slipped into an anesthetic haze, I hope Peyton Manning attempted to direct the doctors by pointing and yelling several times.
you confused them.
Exactly.
That's a good one.
Exactly.
Good job by you, sir. Good tweet.
Yeah, I thought that was, I thought that was pretty good. There were some other good ones, though. So you guys really just follow anybody that we follow. You'll get some good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyone that we retweet, definitely.
Oh, one more quick. I gotta give this guy a shout out too. This one was.
We're doing a second tweet of the week.
Pretty much. Yeah, I just
a mini tweet.
I gotta shout out my boy Owen. Exactly. Right. Yeah.
The silver medal.
Yeah. My boy Owen goes by the Twitter handle of the_ozone. This is in reply to me because I was saying how, and I think me and you have talked about this. I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast, saying how Coors Light drives me insane because they do this whole campaign about the beer being cold. Right. I was like, props to, you know, props to Coors Light for having, like, multiple ad campaigns about cold beer. You know, I was like, oh, you guys now have labels and it turns colors. And so he tweets back at me, but how will I know if it's super cold? By touching it?
Okay. No!
How am I going to know if it's cold or not? I don't understand. I thought that was great. That was
so true. Such a stupid thing.
Quality sarcasm there.
Good job. Good job by our followers. There's always a good tweet of the week.
Yes.
Or two. You
guys never let me down.
Yeah, we have great followers, so.
Absolutely.
They always provide plenty of fodder for awesome tweets.
Indeed.
Good one-liners.
Indeed. All right, so guys, real quick, we are going to once again get to my fantasy picks of the week.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy?
Is this weird fantasy?
I got to know what your fantasy.
All right, guys, so this week, fantasy football, start them and sit them, a couple of them for you this week. Definitely start any white wide receiver that Tom Brady plays with.
Good call.
He looked awesome on Monday night.
You know what? Represent for the white boys, Westwell. You know what? Way to go. You know, you are in a position in sports that is not easy for a white man because he has natural disadvantages. And the fact that he's that good, I think that's stinking impressive.
It is impressive.
It is. I mean, let's be honest. We're not as fast, but he's a very good wide receiver as a white guy, and that's
indeed.
Good for him.
Indeed. Right. Secondly, I think you should. It's time to start Jeremy Maclin after he had a week, I think, to kind of get his engine warmed up. Looking and historically, he's played very, very well against the Falcons. So those are the two players, the two groups of players to start.
Imagine we have two road games right away in domes. It's hard for the offensive line, but after that, they should be able to do anything. And our speed is just so hard to stop it at them.
Yep. So. Yep. Insofar as sit, I think you want to sit the Panthers running back, D'Angelo Williams. He looked really just kind of worn down last week, and also they got a tough game against the Packers this week. Also, sit any player that even resembles Donovan McNabb. He looked terrible last week, and their coach has decided that he doesn't want to.
Nab.
Exactly. Yeah, anything that rhymes with McNabb or Ab, definitely sit that guy. Their coach has, doesn't know what he wants to do. He definitely doesn't want to throw the ball, and they have no wideouts anyway, except for Harvin, who's kind of like a...
Right. You know, if they got McNabb, they could have kept that wide receiver.
Yeah.
Instead of them go to Seattle, then maybe, they would have had a chance. It just doesn't make sense to me. They get a quarterback, which maybe they didn't get a quarterback, but why take away his main weapon?
Yeah.
And give him really less of a chance. So, although, really, they should be stacking eight against the box against Peterson, so if he can't throw... Yeah, they only attempted 15, and they were real safe throws, too. I don't know. They need a better game plan also. But still, with that kind of a running game, you should be able to do – I mean, you should always be able to do better than 39 yards. So I also I have someone to sit. I would sit your mom. I don't think if you start –
What are you talking about, dude? You had a great game last week.
No. I just think it won't behoove you to start your mom 2 weeks in a row because last year I relied on her – and she cost me. I did not make the playoffs with your mom as my starter, and I regretted it. So this year I learned my lesson.
Too many weeks in a row.
I only start her every other week.
Gotcha.
Can't give her 2 weeks in a row. She tires too easily.
The numbers are just up and down, huh? The production's not there
exactly.
The week.
She's every other week, dude.
Gotcha. Thanks for the heads up there, buddy.
No problem.
Much appreciated. All right, guys.
I'm just.
It's time for your favorite six pack of the week, or maybe your second favorite six pack of the week.
Yeah, I was gonna say let's not get carried away.
Exactly.
Here.
Well, depending on what kind of beer you can afford, or so. Let's get into Crossfire. Let's do it.
It's the ultimate challenge, Crossfire.
Crossfire, you'll get caught up in the crossfire.
You'll get caught up in it.
Alrighty, Murdoch. I need your expertise in the crossfire fashion, quick, rapid fire answers. I need you to tell me for the first question, who is your MVP, your NFL MVP for week one of the season?
As much as I hate to do it, I mean, 517 yards. You gotta say Tom Brady. You know, it looked like, you know, it would be Aaron Rodgers after Thursday, but geez, 517 yards.
Yeah.
Monday Night Football record, third highest ever, which they didn't show who the number one and two. I guess I could have Googled it, but that sounded like work. 32 for 48, 517, four touchdowns. Dang.
I gotta feel like, off the top of my head, it's probably like Warren Moon and Dan Marino.
Warren Moon. I was about to say Warren Moon. Yeah. Probably. Those two guys, you know, they run and shoot, definitely helped.
Yeah.
But yeah, Brady. I mean, come on.
Yeah. With white wide receivers.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, 517. That's berserk.
That is.
All right, buddy. Number two. What team looked the best in week one? Not who's the best team in the NFL. What team was the most impressive in week one?
This has got a couple different, you know, could go a couple different ways here. Could go Miami, could go Green Bay, but I'm going to say
Miami?
What's that?
Did you say Miami?
No. Did I say Miami?
Yeah.
Sorry. New England, who played Miami. Yes, could go New England, but you know, could go Green Bay. I'm going to say it's the Ravens. They were just all over Pittsburgh, man.
And they had, okay.
Just gave them no chance. You know, Pittsburgh scored 7 points. That's pretty impressive.
Defense wins championships.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Gave up lots of points / yards.
I'll tell you who I think looked the most stinky.
<laughs> You did.
That would be the Cowboys, and they'll be my pick every week. Even if they win, I will pick the Cowboys as my most terrible team.
Awesome.
Yeah. The most stinky team. I'm sorry. Not, you know, who looked the worst. Just the team. Just.
Oh, but they looked the worst. They did. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, sir.
Bunch of Romos.
Question for you, sir.
All right.
Which Phillies player would you consider the most indispensable, if for you people who, you know, like big words, the most indispensable player on the Phillies that you need for a long run in the playoffs?
5 syllables. That is really hard because, you know, kind of Roy Halladay, Cliff Lee jump at you, but they have so many good starters that, you know, they could probably deal without necessarily one not having their greatest game or whatever.
Right.
You know what? I'm going to go Shane Victorino.
Okay.
He's had an unbelievable year. He does it all. He makes our lineup go. He can lead off, bat second, bat fifth. He crushes lefties. He's good against righties. Speed, defense, center field, steals bases, got a cannon for an arm. He does it all. He's gets everybody juiced up. So since we have the three aces, the fact that we have Cliff Lee makes Roy Halladay more expendable. So,
right.
So I'm going to go Shane Victorino.
I like it.
Go a little,
that's a good answer, sir.
Thinking outside the box. All right.
Yeah.
So question number four, we touched on this a little bit earlier when talking about Justin Verlander. Possibly, you know, he has 2 starts left. If he wins them both, he'll have 25 wins, which is almost unheard of in this day and age. Should a starting pitcher get MVP consideration, or should it only be position players? Because, you know, starting pitchers already have the Cy Young Award. Should they also get most valuable player consideration? Or since they only pitch 1 out of every 5, should it have to be a position player playing every day?
Yeah, that's, you know, that one's iffy for me. Got to give an answer, though. I say yes. Yes, if somebody is that single-handedly successful at being that valuable to his team every time he steps on the mound, if every time he steps on the mound, like Verlander has been this year, he's just, you know, you just feel like it's a lock. Every time he steps on the mound, you know, that's going to win you obviously that many more games. Yes. You know, Verlander's
won like 12 straight starts. I mean, yeah. That's insane. Not the team won 12 starts in a row that he started.
Right.
He has the win in everyone. Exactly. No, I agree. I absolutely agree. I mean, if you look at it this way, it's going to be harder for a starting pitcher because they only play every 5 days.
Right.
But if they're 6 times more valuable every 5 days than anyone else on that team, uh-huh. then or in the league, then they're the MVP.
Right.
That's what they have to do. But people that say, oh, they shouldn't be able to. Sure, they should. If a pitcher every 5 days is 6 times more valuable than the next best MVP candidate, then to me that's more valuable. That's all it is.
It's true.
And they're pitching, so there's going to be more valuable in that one game definitely than a position player. And if they're that good, I'm not saying he definitely should win it, but I mean I'm leaning that way because there's a Pedroia, Gonzalez, Ellsbury, Granderson, the guy from Toronto.
Bautista.
They gets hurt because he's not, they're not a winning team. Right. The other guys are all kind of bunched together. So I'd say if he gets 25, he should win it. Maybe even if not, but definitely they have a chance to me, for sure.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it should be out of consideration that they shouldn't be able to just because they're a pitcher. I actually think a DH shouldn't be able to win.
Yeah.
Unless he just went completely berserk, like
yeah.
beyond Barry Bonds, 2001 304 kind of a thing.
Right.
But, yeah, agreed. Okay. So, next All question, right. sir. You're up.
Yeah, man. Now, we touched on this, too, because I kind of answered it, but I wanted to ask you either – Yeah, whether you want to agree with me or not, who do you think looked the worst among the teams in week one in the NFL?
Okay, well, we did already say the Cowboys.
Yes.
And paid on the Cowboys a lot. So I'm going to actually answer this in a more serious way. I have to say the Chiefs.
Yeah.
The Steelers looked really bad, but they lost to a good team, and the Steelers were on the road. The Chiefs were at home against the Bills.
The Bills.
Lost by 34. That was the biggest margin of any game in week one, 34-point victory.
Yep.
So I have to say the Chiefs look definitely had the worst performance of any team. They look awful. So that's my answer. But also the Cowboys suck.
Yes. All right, sir. What's the last question you got for me?
Who had the worst individual performance in week one?
Well, I couldn't wait to give this the LVP to Tony Romo.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, just
that one, absolutely.
You talked about it in What's Making Murdoch Mad, how the guy had several chances to win the game, and then...
Or did not just completely lose
and
it.
Exactly, he just lost it for him, essentially. You know, he didn't just not come through in the clutch. He actually performed anti-clutch. Mm-hmm. So, I got to give it to him.
No question. There's no second... I mean, there's no one else in that same league.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. There is, and I mean, McNabb only threw 15 times.
Right. Yeah, but
39 yards is unacceptable. But Romo lost that game for them.
Romo was terrible.
So we got to give it to that guy.
All right,
so we're almost to the end of the show here.
Yep, let's wrap it up.
Let's wrap this up. Let's put a tortilla on this sucker. You got any shout-outs, man?
Shout out to everybody in the hood. Shout out to everybody smoking that good. Shout out to everybody in the club. Everybody getting live from the geeks to the thugs.
Absolutely. I'm going to shout out a couple of our favorite followers. If you guys are not following these guys, what's wrong with you? They're great Phillies fans. Great Philadelphia fans.
Yes.
Not just the Phillies, Eagles, any Philadelphia team. They're really good. They're entertaining to follow. So follow at Philly Fans Voice.
Definitely.
Fans as in more than one fan. Philly Fans Voice, all one word. No underscores or anything. And then also at Irish Law 11, also all one word. If you don't know how to spell Irish, then stop listening right now and unfollow us on Twitter. We don't want you as a fan.
Pick up a book and read that and learn to read that and then come back and listen later when you can really, really appreciate it. cool, man. I like all those people. Those people are great. Good choices. I want to shout out a couple. One great Phillies fan, she goes by the handle of Shram-a-lot. It's spelled S-C-H-R-A-M-M-a-lot, A-L-O-T. It's all one word, no underscores or anything like that. Definitely follow her. She's real fantastic.
Cool. Real cool, yep.
Yes, definitely. Also, PH Sports Goddess, and I think I've shouted her out before, but she hasn't been tweeting for that long, but she's a huge fan and has a pretty decent following already just because people know that she talks about Philadelphia sports.
Yep.
Pretty much, that's the only thing she talks about, which is pretty
good
funny.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Which we think is awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
She's getting a golf clap. Exactly. I don't know if you can hear it, but I'm golf clapping her.
Yeah, I can hear it on my side. Awesome. A couple more shout outs. This one specifically to her because of what she said. Her handle is at MaryKate723. That's Mary K A T E numbers 723. She tweeted official review. You guys are just full of truth tonight. I mean, I'm a little drunk, but really, all of your tweets have made me laugh.
Nice. So we're more entertaining when you're drunk, probably. You know, we'll accept that.
Most things are, but yeah, I like the fact that she was reading our tweets while drunk. Props to her.
As she should be.
Exactly. So, yeah, just a few more here. At ND underscore Tay, T-A-Y, also a great follow. Fantastic. One of my homeboys, at yo underscore cuz, that's K-U-Z. That's my boy Kyle. Been friends with him for a while. He's going to follow when you're, you know, you're watching sports and such. And last but absolutely not least, one of my favorite people, at Kristen M320, that's K-R-I-S-T-I-N, letter M, and 320. Huge Eagles fan. She had a funny tweet this week, too. The hashtag was annoying things people say, and she just tweeted after that, go Cowboys.
Nice. Love her. Power for that, for sure.
Absolutely. But that's going to do it for us for this week. We will see you back. Always, exactly, every week talking more sports.
A little closer to the playoffs.
Yeah, it's exciting time. Probably be a shirt sale going on soon, so keep an eye on the Spreadshirt site. It's officialreview.spreadshirt.com. There'll be more stuff on the Facebook, which is facebook.com/officialreview. Also, follow at NJFFL, it's New Jersey Fantasy Football League. There's a link on our page to their page. They're doing a team-up fantasy league with us, and so they have all kinds of fantasy news. You can check out their website for that. But that's going to do it, guys. Have a safe week. We will see you online. Check the Twitter for the feeds during games. We'll be doing all that. And also, one last thing, almost forgot to mention, podcastawards.com. They're doing the selections right now. So if you guys want to nominate us for Podcast Awards, go to podcastawards.com. And any other podcast that you guys have taken a look at. There's one I like called The Black Guy Who Tips. There's obviously War Room Sports. It's pretty awesome. But there's War Room Sports, and there's also the BS Line. Also, Philly Fans Voice also is doing a podcast now.
If you don't vote for us, that would be, like, lame. Yo,
yeah.
What the heck?
Absolutely. You should definitely
We obviously should win.
Nominate, vote for us. That'd be fantastic. And if you don't, I'm going to put a virus on all your computers.
That's right.
I could do that. Oh, yeah. Murdoch, tell him I wouldn't want to let him go without telling him who we got.
Oh.
Say that again?
Oh. Well, you know, once upon a time, we got Cliff Lee. What up?
The end. We do got Cliff Lee. We'll see you guys later.
Peace.
And finally, one of the most unusual pre-race prayers you will ever hear.
Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for all your blessings. You said in all things give thanks. So we want to thank you tonight for these mighty machines that you've brought before us. Thank you for the Dodges and the Toyotas. Thank you for the Fords. And most of all, we thank you for Roush and Yates partnering to give us the power.